And we're live. You had to wait for it, Joe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of Beyond Retro. I'm Joe Amato, and I'm here with Tyler Baker and Nathan Kennedy. I didn't know what was going on for a second. I mean, Tyler was laughing. I thought we were live. We weren't live. I don't know. I missed the cue. Hey, how's it going, guys?
The only person in the cue was Nathan. I just laughed because of all the hysterics going on. You're like, oh, that means go?
I didn't know. I thought he was... because maybe Nathan gave the thumbs up. I was like, I might have missed something.
You know, Jesus. See him. He said he would give you the go, not I will turn my camera and give you the thumbs up. And if I will ask, that's the cue. That's the secret code for go.
Every week, whether it's an ending or a beginning.
We're waiting for it to start. And, you know, we're just sitting there waiting and waiting. And then, you know, Joe just goes into this thing like, damn it, where is it?
Oh man, it's whether it's the ending of this show or the beginning, there's always something that's going on. But well, hey to Chris Simpson and SSJ Mitts in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. But yeah, I guess we'll get started here in a couple minutes on our discussion on Married with Children. Fantastic show. But anything, guys, you want to talk about before we get into that discussion? Anything happening on the weekend? Something you guys did? Something you've seen? I don't know. I just want to make sure everything's clear before we start the show.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I don't know if Tyler had anything going on this week. My week was just kind of boring. Went to work, and that was about it.
And the new Avengers trailer looks all right until Chris Pratt makes a really lame-ass joke. And I'm like,
oh, God, here we go.
That's what Avengers is going to be. It's going to be a bunch of really lazy jokes. Yucks all over the place. We can't have a serious comic movie anymore because Chris Pratt's going to be shucking and jiving all over the place with his lazy-ass jokes.
Oh, there was a new Avengers trailer. Is that what you guys are saying?
I liked this trailer until they made a point to throw in a Chris Pratt joke. Like,
well, this is coming from a guy that hasn't even watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, when that's the level of humor that's in those movies, why would I want to sit down and watch them if it's going to be that kind of humor where it's like, this isn't funny. This is lazy attempts at jokes and people think it's great because he's breakdancing and you know, saying very dry humor. People are like, oh, man, I love that Chris Pratt. He's got talent, man. I'm like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, I'm gonna disagree with you on that.
I know you do, and a lot of people have too. But I'm like, that's I don't like that kind of humor in movies, especially not in comic book movies. I don't mind a joke here and there, but not repetitive again and again. Let's hear that one more time. Come on.
This is coming from the man that at one point thought Ben Affleck's Daredevil was better than Batman 89.
Hey, I repented for my sins. I have the balls and I own it. Yes, it was Valentine's Day. I was depressed and got a Valentine from someone I wasn't interested in. I was out of my mind. But I own the fact that I did say something as blasphemous and sinful as that, and I have repented for my sins. I own it, and I also own the fact I'm not going to watch Guardians of the Galaxy because I don't think Chris Pratt's funny, and I don't like his level of humor. And when people confirm, yes, that's the kind of jokes in that movie, I'm not going to give
it. Who confirmed it?
Funny.
Who confirmed it?
You did.
What was even the joke in the fucking trailer? I don't even remember. I'm just like, all right, it's another Marvel movie. He said something, right? It wasn't even that bad.
Well, that's the point. It's like you're breaking, building up of what's supposed to be like the, this is what all these movies have really been building up to, is like the Infinity War. And we interrupt this very serious tone because of all the other trailers have not been very good. So then we break this tone of, okay, we're building this epic scale. It's going to be, I mean, we're breaking balls and taking no names, no prisoners. Oh, wait, we got a Chris Pratt joke. Your plan's...
it's no different than like in the Justice League cartoon when the Flash would like crack jokes. Like, but it's no different. Like, you're just pinpointing one little thing. It's like King Kong all over again. I don't like that Jamie kid or whatever the fuck his name was. He ruined that movie, and he's like in it for like 5 minutes.
Either. So you're just trying to come up with something to try and bust my balls here.
No, I'm not trying to bust your balls. I just don't think that, like, you can sit here and completely shit on all of that for, like, one piece of dialogue. Like, yeah, their characters are lighthearted, and yeah, he's, you know, it's got that, I want to say it's got that humor, but I mean, it's a lighter set of characters compared to all the other stuff. I mean, there's been jokes in all of them. The first Iron Man had its jokes. The first Thor movie had its jokes. I didn't watch the second one because it looked awful. They all have those jokes.
Yes, like, but
it's always been there.
You just did exactly what you're giving me grief over, that you didn't see Thor 2 because it didn't look good, and it wasn't good. I saw it. It sucked balls.
Well, I mean, because that first one wasn't that great.
It wasn't.
Nothing really happened in it.
Then they repeat the same bad humor jokes. Fish out of water. Oh, look, Natalie Portman's horny as hell. Kat Dennings said something witty and humorous in her hipster look. Wasn't funny at all. And it's that progression of, like, this very cheap, lazy humor that's not very funny that you would find in your typical CBS sitcom on a Monday night is infesting a lot of these movies for the general audience. I'm like, not everything's got to be a yuck fest. I mean, movies like Blade, Batman 89, Superman with Christopher Reeve, they've got sprinkles, dustings of lighthearted humor that are good, cute, and they don't kill the moment. But I feel like the Marvel movies are really just, they're just, we got to get more jokes in. And it feels like it's progression through a lot of
them. I understand that, but you're basically boiling it down to, like, this is Chris Pratt's fault in this trailer, and, like, he's going to suck in it, and the Guardians suck, because it's like, he's just doing the shit. Like, he's just doing the acting. What you reading there, Joe?
I got to get my stuff in here. He is being instructed. Yes, Joe, you're very cute with what you're trying to copy my material there. Get your own material. Don't steal from the best if you're going to do that. Or hell, have a Playboy in your hands if you're going to do that. Anyway, it's like, I get Chris Pratt, you know, is not choosing to do this, but I just feel like they're steering these movies in a too far direction. And other people I've spoken to, not just one or two people, can see that Marvel's really pushing the humor a lot more in these movies, that you can't have a really good serious moment that gives you goosebumps and excitement because, oh wait, we got to have, you know, Thor make a joke about smacking Hulk or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I guess I'm like, you can't shit on Guardians that much. And like, specifically point him out. Like,
that's what I could go on, is because I didn't like the other Infinity War trailers. I didn't think they were that interesting. This one looked interesting, and then they cut the tone of it to throw in a lazy joke.
That's, yeah, just like, but you just said, like, they're steering those movies more towards the general audience. You're not that target audience anymore.
But, the same thing. I mean, did you like Thor Ragnarok?
I did. Like, yeah, all right. There are a lot of jokes, so you would hate it off the bat. First 10 minutes, you'd probably shut it off, I bet. Yeah. There are a lot of jokes, but I would say about 70% of them worked for me, or I'm just like, okay, yeah, whatever, on the next thing. But I enjoyed it. But at the same time, when it was over, I'm like, all right, yeah, it was another Marvel movie. That's how I feel about it now.
Kind of forgettable, though. Like, not that it was a bad movie, but you don't walk away thinking a lot about it afterwards or reflecting on it.
It's no, just, and I probably won't want to watch Infinity War just because, like, the market is oversaturated.
It is oversaturated, which is why it's taking me a while to get excited for Infinity War. I'm like, I'm just not into it as much. But that's why I liked this last trailer and just felt like, oh, great. I got to be reminded that we got to throw in a lot of jokes for the general audience because they can't appreciate a comic book movie that's not filled with jokes, you know. It's like, you know, Iron Man was like, okay, I get it. And that's why I don't find that offensive, because it was something brand new. It was not written as beating you over the head with Robert Downey's, you know, take on Tony Stark. Because it wasn't offensive, it wasn't irritating, and you liked it. It didn't feel like it broke a lot of the tension and tones that were written. Because when it's time to get serious, he'd get serious. You know, and that's what I kind of worry about as these movies get more and more, that they're going to, you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies is a prime example of that. Nathan and I saw both the second and third one in theaters. And what made that first one so good, they took what made that first one great and added more and more and more and more to the point of, like, what the hell are they thinking with these movies?
Yeah, I agree with you. I just don't see the point of being so mad at Chris Pratt. It's like, you ruined my trailer, Chris Pratt. God damn it.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah, because that's what makes me worry, because it was such a good trailer, and to break that, just throw in, I mean, come on.
You and I both know that trailers don't mean shit anymore. You know,
because we've all been misled. Hell, I thought Spider-Man 2 was going to be fantastic. And I saw, like, man, that movie sucked. And I know I'm in the minority on that one too. But I just worry, and I'm a comic book fan. I don't like my comic book movies to be treated as just joke fest.
Yeah,
and then have a fight in the and then we gotta have jokes during the fights and stuff.
No, like that. I mean, there needs to be a balance between like the jokey stuff that they're doing now and like the Nolan Batman films where it's just too dark and too gritty. It's got to be middle ground.
Yeah, well, even the Nolan films, I felt like they were trying to be too realistic, and you're missing the point. I don't want Batman to be overly realistic. You know, it's nice to have a little bit of, you know, out of reality in the Batman films because it's a comic book. It's not supposed to be. He's in the same universe as a guy who's, you know, the last son of Krypton. And you've got a guy who can run really fast and an Amazon running around. I don't know. It's Joe, would you like to contribute here?
I just want to say there was one part I liked in the Justice League movie that I thought was pretty good, which fits the part of, like you said, a little humor being put into a movie which fits the situation, was the part when they brought Superman back and they're all trying to stop Superman and, you know, they're not really having any luck. And then suddenly seeing the Flash go, and he's moving so fast. And of course, to everybody else, when the Flash moves fast, you know, they don't know what's going on. And as he's moving and they're doing that slow motion thing for us to see how he's seeing in his time, Superman, when he's holding off like some of, you know, Batman and Wonder Woman and whoever else was there, I can't remember if Aquaman was there too. But then as the Flash is running, slowly and suddenly you see Superman start, his eyes start turning, looking at the Flash, and then the Flash is looking like, what the hell? Like, he can't believe that Superman can see him moving. And that worked, that was something that had me laughing, but worked perfect for the situation for the Flash. So I just had to bring that up. That was a good part. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, it comes out on Redbox next week, so I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm going to watch it because I am curious. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I did. I thought it worked well for what they were doing. It wasn't either too dark and it wasn't too humorous. It just had a great mix, and I enjoyed it. So,
and a terrible villain.
That was the part that took... Okay, I'm here. I'm hearing my echo. I'm sorry. So in case everybody out there is wondering, I don't know if you guys can hear the echo, but I'm hearing an echo. It's driving me nuts. But this new villain that was in it, or I wouldn't say new villain, a villain that's in it that maybe a lot of people don't know about, I guess that was the part of it that I thought, because I really don't know this guy. I'll be honest. I don't know of all the DC characters and villains, you know, the main ones. And I guess maybe this guy is a main one. I'll be honest. That's me sounding completely ignorant. I don't read the comics. I don't know.
They've said it. I'm not going to see Justice League because the things I thought were going to happen in it were like Batman versus Superman. Nathan saw it. I'm like, I didn't need to see it to know what was going to happen.
I still haven't even finished it.
Well, and that's part of the problem.
Three times. I tried to watch that movie. I probably shouldn't have drank alcohol when I was trying to do that either. I'd either fall asleep or I'd just get bored and turn it off.
But like with Steppenwolf, I'm like, they were saying that he's not really addressed as like who he is, what he represents, who he works for, why is he an important villain, and that he references Darkseid once. Well, to the audience, if you're not going to actually give an idea of who this guy is and what his purpose is, you know, then he's a meaningless villain. And Marvel has done that with some of their movies recently too, where the villains are they're insignificant. They have no point to the plot. They're just kind of thrown in.
How long has he been around, Tyler Steppenwolf? How long has that character been around?
He's at least since the 80s, and I'm not going to pretend to know in depth DC, but he's been a character. He's part of Darkseid's forces, and I think obviously that's what Justice League were with those films they wanted to build to, because they've introduced the boom tubes and the parademons in Batman versus Superman, and I think in Justice League, I believe that all that's in there, but he works for Darkseid, and you know, he gave references to that in the movie from what I can recall. And you know, if you're not going to do a very good job of making the villain in this film, and that's the part of the problem I've worried about the Marvel movies too, is that the movies, even though they're telling you one story, they're so much focusing on setting up the next 2, 3, 4 films instead of making this single villain make this as important as if like this was the last film. Because, you know, writing a good comic book and a good story in general, it's meaningless if you know for a fact, oh, well, this is no big deal because they're really building to this guy. You know, well, then it's not as exciting. And Steppenwolf should have been, a massive menace for to be the first villain the Justice League takes on. You know, this should be an epic as hell. If you weren't going to do a Legion of Doom scenario where Lex Luthor brings in a couple of supervillains like Black Manta and Cheetah and Parasite or whoever, you know, make Steppenwolf the definitive villain because that's what makes it good. If he's a meaningless villain, then why should you care what the Justice League do in the movie? You know?
Yeah, and to say real quick in the chat room, JSP, which thank you for joining us, he said Steppenwolf has been around since the 60s in comics. He said Kirby's new god. So thanks, JSP. I mean, like I said, I'll be honest. I am completely ignorant when it comes to a lot of the DC and Marvel stuff with some of the main or other characters. Yeah, I don't know them all. It's definitely not me trying to, you know masters, which I don't even know all that. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't know. But I appreciate you letting us know that because... Yeah, I seen him and I was like, wow, how relevant is this guy? Does he pop up a lot in the DC universe? And I never knew.
And I blame that on these filmmakers now who are not wanting to make the villains the focal point. It's all about the heroes and their sidekicks and their side stories instead of, you know, classic Batman versus Joker, Superman versus Lex Luthor, or Blade versus, you know, Deacon Frost, the X-Men versus Magneto. You know, they're not trying. They're too damn focused on universe building as opposed to let's maximize our villain here or our team up of villains and make it the best we can do, and stop worrying about planting this seed. Seeds all over the place, yeah. And taking away the significance of. I mean, Nathan, am I out of line here?
No, you're not. I mean, like to me. I mean, obviously, there's still a lot of people that enjoy it. They love it a lot. To me, I feel like the bubble's about to burst on films like that. Like, there's going to be a decline. Like, it hasn't happened yet, but sooner or later, it's bound to happen.
Well, Nathan, it's
exhausting.
It is, and it's, you know, what you said is something earlier that JSP said in the chat room. He said, Steven Spielberg warned people about this in 2016, that superhero movies will eventually go the way of the Western, and he said would get out of touch. So, yeah, you never know. I mean, maybe that's the thing. Maybe you get so much of it, oversaturated, they just change things up or just make people get out of the mood. I mean, I guess we'll find out, but...
Well, I would almost disregard what Spielberg said, because Spielberg hasn't made a good movie in years. And can't seem to recapture the magic of the movies that he used to make. And plus, you know, filmmakers like him have kind of been pushed to the side because superhero films are the big product nowadays in theaters. You know, that's the big massive money makers from whatever DC's trying to do and whatever three or four movies Marvel's putting out. Guys like Spielberg, I mean, they're kind of, you know, they bring out movies like the BFG, the biggest friendly, I don't know what the hell it was called. It bombed. He's got that Ready Player One coming out later this month. I don't, you know, who's to say?
You know, can I say something about that? You know, I don't, you know, when there's movies that I guess I want to see or I know are coming, I told you I avoid the trailers. But when there's something I have no clue of and it just comes on TV, sure, I'm going to look. And this Ready Player One, I mean, the reason it caught my attention was I thought I heard the Back to the Future music and then I seen the DeLorean. I was like, wait, what the hell's going on here? And then I was seeing clips of that. And then I seen Freddy Krueger and I'm seeing all sorts of stuff. I was like, what is this movie? And it's, you know, that Ready Player One. And, you know, they have some kid, you know, doing a monologue about, you know, like many of us, you know, we wished we would have grown up in the 80s. And I think the year is supposed to be 2025 in this movie. Maybe I could be wrong. But I like how, you know, people do acknowledge, yeah, 80s had so much good stuff, which obviously we'll be getting to here in a second. But yeah, I think that movie just, it looked intriguing because it had so many things going on. I don't know if it'll be good, but I hope it is. I always have, you know, like wishful thinking and stuff. But no, as for the Justice League movie, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I mean, some people might have completely hated it and maybe some people went nuts loving it, but I thought it was a good movie. And it was actually one that if I watched again, could watch again, I would. Because there's some movies, like you said, you maybe don't care about seeing twice. But this one, I could see watching it just to maybe pick up on stuff like, okay, maybe what did I miss here? And is there a little detail or some little spoken dialogue that I did pick up on? You know, some movies are worth the second shot, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I like Justice League.
Yeah, I would agree with you on Ready Player One. Because seeing the trailers, like I was intrigued by it as well. At the same time, like I don't, with most stuff that comes out now, I don't get excited for it because most of the time that just leads to disappointment.
Well, there hasn't, and the Ready Player One trailer I did thought was kind of interesting because of what it's doing. I'm like, this doesn't look too bad. I wouldn't mind seeing it, you know. It's not something I'm going to make a priority, but if the situation presented itself, or it was I was given a free copy from Nathan, he was like, "I hate it. Here, check it out," or something like that. I would watch it. You know, it looks interesting. You know, it's one of the few Spielberg movies that I've seen advertised. I'm like, I wouldn't mind checking that out. But
yeah, no, it looks good. It does look good. But all right, well, that's a kind of, like I said, some random little things going on now. But now we're going to talk about one of the best
hostilities.
That's right, the hostilities. Now we're going to get to something positive, because I can't picture anybody being angry at all with what we're going to talk about now. But that's Married with Children, the show that went on for 11 seasons, was it, Nathan? And don't you have the whole box set of all that right there?
Yeah, I go pick this up. I was worried because it's actually packaged differently than what I've seen in stores. But like, if you open that, they got them, it's like all in little sleeves.
Yeah,
it's like, which that's fine, I guess.
And how much was that? Did you say it was like $24 or what?
Yeah, I paid $24 or something on Amazon for it. 24 and some change.
And that's not just a season he's got, everyone. He's got the entire series, which, you know, sometimes, like, I remember I bought it, maybe it was 4 years ago. I got season 4 of Married with Children for like $9.99. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I got the whole season for $10. But you got the whole series. That's like just over $2 per season if you want to break it down in money. So, yeah, you said you got that on Amazon, did you say?
Yeah, I got it. But I know Walmart for a time had it. And I went to go find it at Walmart, and they didn't have it on the shelf anymore because they had changed around their modular setup and put in like new series sets. But if any of you guys have heard of Ollie's Bargain Outlet, I'm pretty sure that in their little movie section that they're selling that and like Roseanne and stuff like that. But I never had time to make it out to that store, so I just looked on Amazon and got it on there.
We have an Ollie's where I live. It like opened up a few years ago. First, I want to say real quick hi to Jake Juggalo in the chat room. And also, Chris Simpson had a correction for JSP that I guess the New God story started in 1971. So we just wanted to correct that. So thank you for that. But no, I remember when Ollie's first opened around here, the reason I went to it was there's these paper cutout He-Man and Skeletor figures that you could make. And I thought that maybe they used to be online things you paid $10 for. And somebody said, man, you guys got to get to Ollie's. They're only like 99 cents at Ollie's. I was like, what the hell's an Ollie's? And I looked up, I was like, oh my God, we got one. And I went there, and sure enough, they had the Skeletor, they had the He-Man, cool little paper. But that's how I got introduced to it. But that place was just loaded with weird stuff. That's where I got like a Dungeons & Dragons, one of the seasons or DVDs for almost nothing. And yeah, so it's a good thing. But no, Married to Children, it's like, oh my God, what a show. I mean, from how it started, because, you know, you can see the whole premise and feel of the show along with the character, especially of Al. I mean, they all have grown, but Al, you can really tell the difference with him, because in the first, you know, the first episode, some of the first seasons, he had this way he talked, okay? You know, he kind of had that way, okay? You know, he had this weird way he talked, but then he started getting a little sillier, and then more silly as the series went on, but he just grew as a character, along with all the whole family, and the neighbors, and, I mean, even to see how Marcy came out of her shell, but, I mean, whoever wants to start, if you guys can start, and then we just ramble, because there's so many damn good episodes of Married with Children.
I think that it's funny, because I was talking to Joe before we got started, and he gave me this list of all the different plots. It's like, you got to find this episode, watch this episode, watch this. I didn't watch any of those. I just started at the beginning, pulled out the first disc, put it in when I was going to sleep, watching it, fall asleep, wake up, continue watching it. But the first season, it's interesting because Al's character, he's the one initiating the sex, whereas like later on, he wants no part of it. I thought that was kind of interesting
and they ate food. They actually would eat food.
yeah, and you know, like Kelly wasn't as dumb. She was actually like kind of smart in the first season, and I wonder, like, because this started on Fox, and Fox wasn't the network that it is today. Like, it was a very small market, so those first few seasons, like a lot of people didn't start watching it until what, probably season 4. Or later, as the Fox grew as a channel?
I think season 5 was like the highest rated season of all. Like, it was, like when the show was really, I mean, hit its pinnacle. I may be incorrect, but I believe it's season five or around that time frame that I think that's when the season really reached its highest point, is like in terms of popularity, you know, because the show kept evolving. And I think around season three, or I think season four, I think is when the show is what pretty much people, you know, when they think Married with Children, that's where that kind of starts. Where Bud is craving sleeping with anything. Kelly's, you know, a bimbo, but she's got dates all the time. Al's miserable every day and being, you know, having his balls busted by Peg, who's out spending what little money they've got, and, you know, instigating sex. He's, oh, come on, Peg, you said no, we said no sex tonight, you know. Like, I think that's kind of where the traditional idea of what Married with Children, what people think of, I think that's kind of when around it started. And that's really the first few seasons. I mean, they're not bad, but they're nowhere near as funny as those middle seasons, and then the later seasons get too much, and, you know, like a lot of shows, they overstay their welcome sometimes, or they can't capitalize on what they've done before. But it's it really hit its stride, I think, a few seasons in. And plus the Fox Network too was so relatively new with the content and things like that, with like Werewolf, Married with Children coming on. The Tracy Ullman show was on around that time too, I think, before The Simpsons came on, and Living Color and things like that, you know, came on, you know, a couple of years after that. But and my contribution to this conversation is going nowhere here.
No, that's fine. Like,
contributions to the conversation about the Marvel film. I'm just kidding. I honestly, if I'm being honest, I probably should have started it from like season three, season four. Watching it, you could definitely from the beginning see that they were trying to figure out what would stick, find their footing. But I still found it like really funny early on. You know, the episodes that I do remember slipping in and out of consciousness, like the one where she's like, "I'll fix the fence," and he's like, "Oh, I'll get to it," and it's like, "Oh, 2 months later," and it ties into like a sex joke, because, you know, he's like, "I'll have sex with you when I finish the fence," kind of thing, and went from there. And then the one episode where they go down to Florida, and there's like every 5 years this guy comes out,
the killer,
Like, I found that episode enjoyable just because, like, Al's so happy and it's just, like, so dumpy and shitty. And, like, the killer ends up being the only other, like...
man who's seen Andy Griffith.
Yeah. So it's, like, that's the only, like, two things that bring people to that town, apparently. But, no, it probably once we're done next... couple months, I'll watch.
Yeah, because you said you got maybe to the second season and that was it, correct?
Yeah, I think because they put the entire first season on the first disc. I think I'm on disc three, so yeah, like the tail end of the second season, because the way that they have these on here, God, it's got like at least a good 10 to 12 episodes per disc, so you're looking at like... like, season three is on two discs, and I think it's like that for the rest of the set. Because it's only 21 discs or something, I want to say.
Did you at least get to see, because I couldn't remember how far you made it through the seasons, but the episode where they got the inheritance check, and they decided to go out to eat, and to go dine at a fine restaurant. Did you please tell me you've seen that one? Remember, Bud and Kelly, they wanted to go to a concert. But, you know, Al, of course, wanted to have some nice food, have a nice dinner. So they go out, and, of course, they're playing this old-time fancy music at this fancy restaurant. He said, "See, you get dinner and a concert." And the kid's like, "Yeah, this is great, but you had to have seen that one. Please tell me."
Nope.
Oh, God. I mean, for me, I always got a kick out of the episodes sometimes where they were eating, especially later, and in all TV shows where people are just starving and ready to chow down. And they're all sitting there, they're saying their prayers and what they have to be thankful before they go into that food. And just watching them, like, hog down and make these sound effects, and the waiters are looking at them like they're just animals, insane. And Bud picking up that steak and putting all that ketchup on it and eating it. I remember I would eat steak with my hands. I still do at home, but not in public. But just to let you know, so I wouldn't go that nuts in public now. But I can relate to him, how he's tearing into it, Al, like, having, you know, got a bite of a potato from Peg, how they crossed arms. And then he holds the steak in front of her mouth, and then he puts it back in his mouth. He doesn't even give her the food. Oh man, I love that Eaton's. I'm sure Tyler's seen that, but I love that episode.
See, I don't enjoy those earlier episodes like you do as much. I enjoy the family status of Al walking in and saying that when he went to the gas station, he went to go pay with a credit card, and they saw that his credit card had been canceled. So they pulled those and they cut it. And we all laughed. You know, just him telling this very bad story and saying that him and the gas station attendants and were all laughing at the idea that his credit card had been revoked.
That's great.
And they cut it in front of him, and they're all just laughing together. And he comes home and says that's how how his day went. That's the kind of Married with Children that I love, where, you know, as a kid, when I watched it, I really wanted to see them, you know, succeed and get, and I probably would have appreciated more than getting food. But it's stuff like that, like I didn't find, you know, their accomplishments like that to be as enjoyable
What
as.
about at least, okay, the other one? See, I mean, oh, I love what you're saying too. Like I said, I love every damn thing about Married with Children, but some of those food episodes stuck out for me. Like the one where Peg was going out dancing, and the person she ended up dancing with was gay and married. And this gay, and the gay husband came to Al's house looking for his husband and says, you know, your wife is sleeping with my husband. And Al had that kind of crazy look, but when he comes in and they start talking and stuff, that guy makes Al steak, he bakes him a cake, and just watching how Al's getting giddy eating the steak, having, you know, grabbing the cake out of the bowl, eating it. He's like, this is still warm. But then the part that, like, to sit next to the couch, and Al's worried that the guy maybe won't cook for him or do anything for him. He's like, oh no, Al. He's like, you know, I'm not a foodie. He's like, I'll still do stuff. We can go out, have a picnic. I can get you a basket with some nice crispy fried chicken. And Al has this, like, this crazy kind of
God,
laugh.
that's something I can't wait for Nathan to get to because I've watched that episode a lot, and yeah, that's and it's Homer's the oh God, the guy, Yearly Smith, I think is his name, the guy who did Homer Simpson's and a lot of other characters on The Simpsons. That's who plays the gay husband that comes to visit Al, and when the you know it was just funny, you know, seeing that, you know, that the guy's like, nah, soccer's not a man sport, and Al's just kind of like looking at him, you know, hearing this kind of stuff that he likes to cook and that he makes a great living with a good salary, and Al just says, you know, I love you, and but that laugh that he does, I've rewatched that scene so many times. I hope Nathan does get to it at some point,
So
but
giddy.
I'll make it big as a picnic basket with crispy fried chicken, and it's
It's
this.
giddy laugh, yeah.
Snide, it's so simple, but it's those moments too that are just absolutely fantastic on the show. And there's some shows where there are just small moments like that really stand out above everything else in the episode. Like that little scenario between Al and the gay husband, that's more funnier than anything else in that episode. You know,
It
that is,
was.
you know, we got three guys who won't sleep with my wife. What's a big deal? You know, jokes like that, but it's God, it's
There's
those small.
tons.
What?
No, you're right. There's tons, and it's always that little small moments that sometimes can just make an episode, if you know you didn't pay attention, that much more memorable. Like there's some in the chat room, like Chris Simpson is saying some of his best episodes. He liked when Al's Dodge hit a million miles. I remember that. Steve's Roadhouse. I remember when they switched, you know, they took the wrong house, and Al talking to God. And Jake Juggalo said about the episode where Peggy turned the bathroom completely pink. Oh, geez. The reason that one, again, sticks out for me, not only because Al, you know, went insane when he went into that bathroom with the shakes and everything and looking, and it's playing that like psycho music. Then he sees the picture of Peg, and like I think as the Grim Reaper.
Lot of peg in there, yeah.
Yeah, but see, Peg's doing this for her like a class or something fancy to show everybody how she can redesign something. But then I like Al, you know, he can't take it. You know, he's so desperate to go to the bathroom that he's going to like a gas station where some, you know, real fat guy overflows the toilet. And he looks at all the guys in line like, what are we doing here, guys? And basically it's the lead. We need to take back our house, our homes, whatever. So he goes back to the house and Peg's there and he's like, change it back, Peg. She's like, nope, not gonna do it. And he has this bag full of stuff. You're wondering what it is. And as all the people come in to see her bathroom and redesign. He's like, huh? Left me with no choice. And they start playing that Bad to the Bone music that they love doing for him in a lot of the episodes. And he pulls out like 5-6 different things from like a Mexican restaurant. And he sits there, he starts off, he drinks some of the hot sauce, then he pours all those stuff, drinks it again. And he just does it to get his stomach so bad to where he's got to take a horrible shit. And then eventually he runs up into that bathroom and you see them all running down. That, yeah, that was another classic. I mean, go ahead, Nathan, but God, there's so many episodes. It wasn't until maybe the later seasons where maybe it wasn't as memorable when they had all the guys constantly from No Man, and maybe some episodes were so-so, like maybe when him and Peg got separated, and some of those aren't really memorable, but go ahead, Nathan.
No, I'm just going to like sit here and listen to you guys like talk, because, you know, like only thing I really can contribute is to just what I've seen. Like, the one episode that I remember that stuck out to me watching it on, because I didn't watch it religiously. Like, I would just catch some of the syndicated stuff on other channels. The one that I remember, I don't know why it sticks out to me so much, but it's when he gets all the guys on the football team back together, and they're going to, like, play that game again, but all the guys on the other team are, like, NFL stars, and just, like,
yes, run them over.
Like that one, I don't know why I remember that, but there you go.
What about at least, that was a good one too, because poor Bud being used as the coin when they were doing the coin toss and they didn't have a coin to flip, and they flipped Bud instead of a coin. It's like, poor Bud. But you at least maybe seen the episode where Al had the late library book, The Little Engine That Could. I think you would at least have seen that one. I couldn't remember what season. Tyler, do you remember what season?
You should have seen that one. Like, no, he hasn't seen it, Joe.
I may have seen it. I just don't remember it. I don't know.
And, well, there was this part where he's...
I love how Joe likes to assume everybody's done everything that he's done.
Don't I? I know. I like to do that.
Take with your hands, right? I mean, we all do, right? I mean, you've seen that episode. Oh, sure, Joe. We just didn't tell you, you know. Just...
Right. Well, I'm trying to pick his brain because I know he said he's seen a couple seasons. So I'm hoping some of these.
Oh, mainly the things that stick up here is just what I watched this week.
Well, there was he's sitting there arguing with this librarian, because when Al was a kid, this librarian, you know, like always called him a filthy little boy, you know, and he wouldn't amount to anything. And he took the little engine that could. I guess he never brought it back. And so he decides to finally take this book back to the library. And, of course, lo and behold, that librarian is still there. They're having their back and forths, but it was something like where she said something like, you know, could it be that, you know, you didn't, you know, you weren't a success like I thought. I forgot how she phrased it, but he said, and could it be that the nails that hold your chair together are from the planet Krypton? So he's a little smart ass remarks he made.
That's something that I appreciate is the crudeness of the show. Now, granted, you know, and thankfully they're not like a bunch of like your mama jokes and stuff like that, but this show does not hold back when it talks about, you know, obesity on the show, small dicks, or whatever the case may be. They are insinuating everything, or just come out and that's some of the best stuff too. Is Al fighting with fat women, you know, and it not just in the shoe store, but outside the house or whatever the case may be. And like, God, some of this stuff is great because they didn't hold back. Now they couldn't do that today. If Melissa McCarthy is getting hammered because she lost weight and stuff like that, oh, we want, you know, we can't relate to you because you're not fat anymore, or whatever the case may be. You know, and I think that's the case. Hell, I don't know. I didn't like Mike and Molly. I didn't give two shits about that show, but that's just what I heard happened.
I heard it was a big deal that they were, like, both fat or something.
Yeah.
I remember there being an issue where it's like, oh, we got two, like, fat people's leads. I'm like, why does that matter? Like, if it's good, it's good. If it's shitty, it's shitty. It doesn't matter, like, what the character... I don't know.
That's the thing, is, like, are you relying on them because they're big, that you find it funny because they're big people saying this stuff? As if, like, you can't relate to any other generic sitcom about some guy trying to find a girl and his quirky sidekick who works in the coffee shop and whatever the case may be. It's like, it'd be funny if they were fat, you know, or something like that. It's just silly nonsense. But the show just never held back from fat jokes. And God, some of them were like, I mean, if you go on YouTube, and this would save Nathan some trouble too. You go on YouTube and you find Al Bundy and Marcy, and it's just these compilation videos of the best insults between those two, or Al battling with fat women. And there's an episode where Al cannot say anything derogatory about fat women, and I forgot the rest of the episode, but this heavy woman comes in and puts her fat foot in his face, you know, and she says, "I have tiny toes, don't you think?" He goes, "Oh yes, indeed." For sausages.
Yeah.
Sausage.
Yep. God. That was when he was. Yeah, he was trying to hold back. You're right.
YouTube too. I hope Nathan can. I mean, I'll have to send it to Nathan. But his when he makes that face for sausages and it echoes throughout the store. God, that was so funny, man.
Because he was holding that in. Remember, he couldn't talk about any fat women. Otherwise, I think he'd lose his parking space or whatever it was.
I don't remember what it was, but God, that's memorable. I mean, there are good stories for these episodes, but some, like I said before, there are single moments that outshine the whole episodes themselves. Hell, I mean, the stuff between Bud and Kelly, and that's where the show really finds their footing with those two. When they get older, and it's insinuated that Kelly sleeps around when they're younger, but when she's clearly older, she's got the long, straight blonde hair, wearing skimpy outfits, not the punker chick stuff, and she's constantly leaving, wearing a mini skirt, and Bud's making remarks saying she's a slut, and she's, you know, making jokes that he's, you know, jerking himself off with a blow up doll and stuff like that. That's classic because they're constantly just going at each other, and he'll come back with such confidence, you know, and call it, saying her that, and she'll do it. I love that stuff. And the Al and Marcy stuff, there's videos of just those two just going at it, and we need to make sure Nathan sees that stuff because there's the. It's a dream episode, so I don't know if you hadn't seen it. Well, Nathan hadn't seen it in a while, but it's no big deal if it's spoiled. But anyway, we're Marcy and Peg are both pregnant in this scenario here, and Al decides to tell Marcy, you know, Marcy, I mean, let's face it, there's not enough milk in those things for a cup of coffee, you know. You know, it's just constantly bearing her about her breast size, and Marcy was hot on the show too. You know, I always thought she was. But it was just that constant button, you know, like when Vanna White shows up, he's like, "Oh, this is Marcy. You can see she's used some of your product. See, so renovation creep on her breast. Not a trace." You know, just stuff like that. Got it. And that was the first episode I remember making a point to watch when it was brand new, was the Vanna White episode where she wants to buy Al as a sex toy. And I remember watching that like, "Oh, my God, Al's going to get to have sex with Vanna White. This is great." And I hadn't even hit puberty yet, but I thought, this is awesome, man. I was so disappointed when she buys him. They're laying in bed together. She's wearing her nightie, and they're getting ready to go at it. And then Peg comes in and rejects the offer. I'm like, shit. Oh, I'm so about
that. Yeah, that's God, always the feeling for the show.
Nylons and heels. They're like, oh, my God, Al. Like, he's going to get naked with Vanna White. And then Peg wipes it out. Oh, I was so mad about that because I stayed like-
So, the curse of Al. He could never get anything. Just like anytime you thought he was going to get something, like what they were saying earlier in the chat room about when his Dodge hit 1,000,000 miles, he would get that new Viper. And of course, he sits there and he's paranoid because Marcy making him think, God, I'd be so worried that if, you know, something would happen to my car. And so Al falls asleep in the garage and then hits the, you know, park or puts it in, you know, gear, and it rolls and it goes past 1,000,000. It had to be viewed on tape by that company to see it go over 1,000,000 miles for him to get this car. So he lost his car. The time when he had that crazy hot streak where he was winning at the poker game where Jefferson was, you know, he fronted him some money and he just kept winning and winning and more, and then finally there was one last hand, and it was all of Al's winnings against all these criminals' cars. And Al did not want to win because he figured if he won, my God, he's going to – because he said the Bundys have a curse that as much good luck they build up an equal amount of bad luck. And the luck of the bad luck kicks in when they admit they're having good luck. So he didn't want to do it. He was dealt a royal flush. And he sat there, and everybody's taking cards, and Jefferson's like, "How many you want, Al?" And then he said, "Al stays," and Al said, "Four." And then, of course, Jefferson has this look of disappointment, gives him four cards, and then Al opens his cards up, and then he has four aces. It's like, and of course, him and Jefferson are celebrating. And he was like, "Look at that, Jefferson. I won. I won this, and nothing bad happened. I can finally say that the curse is over," or whatever he said. And, of course, here come the cops. So Anytime he wants something, of course, he could never get anything he's supposed to. It's, yeah, like I said, it's a curse of Al. I mean, even when they went gold, mining for gold, and they thought they'd hit the jackpot, and Al went insane, after that tarantula crawled on him, and he was out, just wherever. But then he comes back, and you find out it's fool's gold. You're like, oh God, not again. So there's that. There's the well, hell, the neighbors themselves, and all the interaction with Steve and Marcy and Al together, all of them together. And of course, just little quips that Steve would do to Marcy and vice versa. Like the time where Marcy, she had her aunt's ashes, her Aunt Tootie or Toonie or Tootie or whatever. And she was taking that, urn everywhere. So the Bundys decide to have a barbecue out in the backyard. And of course, he has the Darcys basically bring everything. But the job then, what happened early was Peg, this is what I love about this episode the most, was there was times, remember, like you said, early on, Al didn't mind sex, but then it was like Al never wanted sex with Peg. But he got excited in this episode because when Peg would do scrubbing and cleaning of the benches and the dirty stuff, Al's getting excited. He's like, scrub harder. Like he's getting really turned on by Peg. And I think they end up having sex 4 or 5 times. Peg is wiped out. But as he's inside resting, I think, or doing something, Peg starts doing something where she's cleaning and she knocks over the grill that has the Bundy's ashes. I mean, the ashes that he uses every year. That's the secret to making a great Bundy burger. And so tips over. She's like, she doesn't know what to do. She tells Kelly and Bud, go find some ashes. Look everywhere you can. And they're sitting there later, they're enjoying the burgers. And Marcy's talking about, I just can't enjoy this burger knowing that my dead Aunt Tootie is sitting over my fireplace. And then you see Kelly in the background lift her head up. She's like, I'm sorry, what was over your fireplace? And she says, the ashes of my dead aunt. And then Kelly swigs water, spits it out. And they found out that that's what they used for ashes were her dead aunt's ashes. You can't beat that stuff. Oh, and that was the part I liked with Steve because he couldn't stand Marcy's aunt. When Bud whispered in his ear that, hey, those are her ashes, Steve had the burger and they stopped and he did a double take. And then he just bit in that burger with a big old smile, like, ah, he loved it. He relished it.
We need to make this the episode where Kelly goes on that sports trivia show that Al was a master at, and they didn't want him on the show. He sends Kelly on there, and the montage of him training her knowledge in sports. And he has, like, I think Mike Tyson in boxing,
Was it
Bo
Babe
Jackson.
Ruth in a bat or somebody in a baseball or a bat? And then.
Got Marcy in an egg, and she has to match up which goes with which. And it was just this little black and white picture of Marcy smiling in an egg, and just, I mean, it has nothing to do with Marcy, but they managed to work in a Marcy chicken joke.
Yeah.
And goes on the show and she's winning, and Al looks at Peg, oh, you're getting some tonight, babe. And then when she loses, you're like, no, you're not getting any. In fact, I may even take some more away. Just these small jokes that have nothing. It was just that stuff to me when I saw that episode as a kid. That was very memorable. Him saying, you're getting some tonight. And he said, no, I'm taking even some away. Just God, I love that stuff. And Bud's ever going saga of trying to have sex. Again, as a kid, when I would watch the show, I'm like, oh man, Bud's gonna get to sleep with that really hot, and there was nothing but beautiful women on the show all the time.
That's what it was known for too. It started getting
God.
super hot women.
And it was just so awesome to see Bud. Like, one of my favorites was when Marcy's niece came over, Amber, and snuck
Oh.
in the window, and she suggests to have sex, and he looks at the camera, and they go at just stuff like that, or him sleeping with his cousin's wife, which was what's her name from Mallrats and Chasing Amy. Oh God, damn
Joey,
it!
is it Joey something, or am I thinking of
Yeah. Oh man, any other time I would know her name, but
Oh.
she's Mallrats and she's the lesbian Chasing Amy. Bud ends up sleeping with her on the day of the wedding and stuff like that.
It's
Oh,
those
and
little.
that's when Peg can't get herself ready to go, and Al says, well, no, Peg, you look great. And she goes, oh, you smudged my makeup. Now I gotta change. He takes his tie and then hangs himself like this. God, I laughed so hard when I saw that too. And it's like I said, it's all these small stuff sprinkled throughout these episodes that make, and Joe can vouch for this too. Maybe Nathan remembers this. Anytime Al goes on the roof, he's going to fall off, and it's always a dummy. And that's something my brother loved.
Yeah, I do
Yeah.
remember that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what made it so funny because it was so cheap looking to hear
It
this dummy
was.
on the ground and Al screaming and or
It was so
Bud.
obvious.
Oh God, it was so funny.
No, you're right. It was so obvious, but that's what made it funny. And real quick, thank you, JSP. He said it was Joey Lauren Adams.
Yes. Yes. Man, I can't believe it.
So thank you for that, JSP. But yeah, it's those moments you mentioned, which were even greater too, is the whole thing of how Bud is wanting to figure a way of getting a girl, and Kelly gives some advice, like, you know, you look her deep in the eye and say, "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I want to spend a night of passionate sex with you. No names. Just come be one with me." And, and she said something like, "And if that does, you know, make sure you step on her foot." And he was like, "Why?" So she doesn't run away. So sure enough, that's what Bud does when he goes up to her. He steps on her foot and he says all that stuff to her. And she's like, "What?" She's like, I didn't hear what you said because you're standing on my foot," or something about the pain.
Yeah, but that same episode where he says, with his cousin's.
That's why it worked. It was just so great. He was so excited and finds out he slept with his cousin Jimmy's, you know, soon to be bride. But when you talk about Amber, Marcy's niece, God, I remember she's poking out, and it's purposely. You could see those things just poking out of her shirt, and dear God, because Bud was, you know, through the whole show, he's sitting there. He's fantasizing about women. Of course, he always, you know, it ends up being a dream. I think that's how it started. Like, he was touching some girl, and then he woke up and he's rubbing Al's chest on the couch. He thinks it is, like, you know, he's dreaming, thinks it's a woman and it's his dad there. But later then, when she comes to the window, he thinks it's all a dream. And they have sex, and then she comes out, and he realizes it was really her. It's like, well, finally, Bud got some, you know, because you're rooting for Bud. There's so many things, like, and as everybody else was saying, from the beautiful women, all the playmates, and you think of Pam Anderson being on there, but just, God, I mean, they're just, that show was known for that. I was like, man, Ed O'Neill, he must have loved playing the role of Al Bundy, to be around all them super hot women, and so many, I couldn't imagine, like, that must have been the best job in the world. I talk about envying somebody, but Al was, he was like probably the ladies' man back then. He probably could pull in those women in real life.
Girlfriend, like Bud or Al or any other male temporary cast member of that show with all those beautiful women. I mean, it would just be hordes of beautiful women. Even if it just, like, the scene really didn't call for it, like, you know, it just somehow they would work. And that was, God, it was just intoxicating.
I love
scenes of beautiful. Like when Al's working at the gas station, you know, and has to pay off the 12, I think it's what, $12? Because they bought
He said, "I don't have $12, and you're here to become Habib."
Yeah, so he's working at the gas station to pay off for $12 and offering to give an erotic massage, but not to guys.
Just shoot me, holding that sign. I loved it.
And then that's a Marcy Jefferson pull up, and they say, "I thought I recognized that bald spot from the freeway." Good for you, Jefferson. You decided to take the Miller boy camping, and he rubs her head, little kid. God, it's so funny, man.
It's, I mean, it's
like, he just can't wait to get at her, you know?
It's that's what's so funny.
I always love it when Marcy instigated first, because Al always comes back and buries her 6 feet, and that's what makes it funny, because then she's looking away, and then Jefferson's like smiling and laughing behind her back. Oh, Nathan.
Yeah.
You gotta get on this today, man.
Yeah, he did. You're right. He always had that kind of, like, you know, that really big smile. And then she looked, and then he'd get all straight faced, like he wasn't doing anything wrong. But there was an episode, remember, when I think Al got sick, and he was sitting there. He was like fantasizing. He was always having dreams about women. And Kelly was, or I'm sorry, no, Al was okay, but I think Kelly was sick, and she had this little bell that she would ring anytime she needed, you know, daddy to help. And he was having this one dream where I think it was like Pam Anderson and some other woman, they were sitting there like on a bed, and they were gonna have like some crazy pillow fight, or like they were gonna have like a girl fight on the bed. It's like, and he was ready to join them when they said, "Please join us." He's like, "Okay." And he dives after them to get into the bed. And then he hears ring, ring, ring. And then he wakes up. And I remember he came downstairs and she was ringing the bell. And then he was like, "What do you want?" Like, he couldn't take it away. He's snapping because he couldn't. And that's the other thing with Kelly. The one episode that again cracked me up was the episode. There was a lot of the great Christmas ones. And there was the one where they showed the flashback of Al. I'm sorry. It was all of them when they were supposed to be back in the 70s. And you've seen baby Bud in the big giant high chair and Kelly having her doll that she's, you know, stroking the hair for. But when Al comes in, she wants to talk to him. She's like, "Daddy?" And he said, "What?" And she said, "I forgot." And she's like, "Okay." And she's like, "Daddy?" He said, "What?" She's like, "I forgot again. Next time, don't say what." He said, "Okay." She said, "Daddy?" Daddy? She kept saying it, and he was looking at her like he was ready to snap, and she said, Daddy! He said, what? She's like, oh, you made me forget again. And so then they rambled on. They were doing another story, you know, like he was talking to the rest of the family, and then later, Kelly said again, she said, Daddy? And he looked at her after all the other people were talking. He's like, well, what good is this going to do? You're just going to forget again. And she's like, no, I'm not. Daddy? He said, what? And then she just started brushing the hair on her towel like she forgot. I was like, those little moments of just saying, Nathan, you got to get all over this. When they go to the movie theater for Kelly's birthday, and that's where you see David Boreanaz. I think that was his first introduction to anything into TV. You know, he became Angel, and then he was on, you know, all those other Bones and TV shows. But I think that might have been his first maybe shot into TV or acting, was on Married with Children as being the guy that was Kelly's boyfriend that was also cheating on him, but they were in a movie theater. Oh man, just and Bud again, Bud trying to get the women in the movie theater, getting knocked around, slapped around,
flying across the movie theater when they reject him. And
jeez,
yeah, I need to. I would you recommend I start around like season four?
Yeah, I'd start with season four. Forget okay. not go. You can go back, but to really get like the essence of the show, what we're talking about, start at season four and then watch from there on, and you'll. And I know they introduced what's the name of the goofy little blonde haired kid, like it was like that
Seven.
That's Seven. I was afraid to say Seven because it
probably, Ugh.
But yeah, Seven.
That's where it jumped the shark. It didn't jump the shark with Jefferson. Some people said
after that season the show is still good. And fortunately Seven is not in every episode.
They wrote him out eventually.
Jokes aren't funny, but there's a lot of good episodes that he happens to be in it. But he has nothing to do with humor. So when he shows up, you know, and I almost felt like that was probably just something to kind of give the show a shot in the arm. Like, hey, give him another kid to play around with.
Yeah.
Like on the
and it didn't work.
But it didn't work because, you know, you can't get but so raunchy when you have a little child on the show. And that's not what made the show funny. They're all Bud and Kelly are young adults. You know, Peg and Al are full. It was an adult show with young adults and full adults. You didn't need to bring a child into the mix. So.
And it was good they wrote him out of it. I mean, they found a way, but finally he was written out of the show because, yeah, he brought nothing to it. You're right. There's episodes he's in where there's good episodes, but not because of him, because there was nothing he did that was anything that was memorable. He was just a terrible addition to the show. Now, like I said, that is when I considered the show jumping the shark, because like I was saying earlier, some people said, man, when Jefferson came over and jumped the shark, I was like, I love Jefferson. I didn't hate Jefferson. He was awesome.
And I will say, I think the show jumps the shark when they really expand, like, and Joe mentioned this earlier, and as a kid when I was, or when the show was a regular show and I'd watch it, I hated the whole expansion of him giving him a bunch of Neanderthal friends that were all fat and silly and stupid, and like they're not funny, they're trying too hard to be the cliche man, you know, wearing shirts that are too tight, they love the beer and their pizza and reading nudie magazines, and like, you guys aren't funny. Jefferson and Al are funny. You guys, I don't know why they thought it was a good idea to do that, but that's one of the things of the show, and that doesn't come to later on, like when they really get big. And not to say there aren't good episodes sprinkled in there, but that, to me, that was like a sign of like that's when the show's quality started to you know, to take a torpedo down. And
because there's too much being spread around all these other characters that they were just trying to expand it instead of leaving it just between a certain group of characters. Like, I didn't mind. I like Griff. Griff worked out pretty good. I thought he was fine. But, like, Bob Rooney and a lot of the others, it's like they were just, there was too many of them. It's like, okay, don't water it down with all these people. Like I said, there was some episodes where it worked, but just too much was, well, too much. But I love the chemistry with Jefferson and Al. I loved it, you know, in the earlier seasons with Al and Steve. I mean,
I used to wonder, because when I was watching the show and I saw a lot more of it, I really fell in love with the show in syndication because NBC used to play them in the afternoons, like at 3 in the afternoon. So when I come home from school, I'd watch it a lot. And that's probably when Nathan probably caught it too a lot, or at least in syndication. But I really fell in love with it around that time. And I really got used to Jefferson because they didn't play a whole lot of the older episodes a lot as much. And then when I got it on DVD, I got to see more of the Steve stuff, and I really got to appreciate Steve a lot more. So, and I remember like the episode when they're reading Seven to Peg's reading Seven the bedtime story about the pirates, mm-hmm. you know, and Steve shows up. I remember watching that one when it was a new episode.
That was cool.
I thought that was like, oh, okay, that's I think it's Marcy's act, but it was a fun episode, and I and it just kind of grew to like Steve a lot more going back to the back catalog of episodes. So as a whole, the core cast was great. And you had a couple of nice little one-shot characters that would appear from various characters, you know, that pop up here and there. They didn't really have a whole lot of reoccurring side characters, which was not really necessary because the show, that wasn't the show. It wasn't The Simpsons where you could get away with expanding the universe and making, you know, Apu, Snake, Chief Wiggum, Krusty the Clown, Sideshow Bob. You can make a episode about them, but you
could. If you want to hold that, I was going to say, if you want to hold that thought, that was the few times, there was a couple episodes I didn't enjoy, because you knew what it was like, and you've seen it with many TV series. You knew when you were watching an episode that felt off, and you're like, why are they focusing so much on these guys? Only to know they were going to try to make spin-offs. Like the one episode where they had all of them in the college kids and that Tremaine University or something. And Steve was going to be, I don't know if he was going to be the, what do they call that? Not principal. I thought there was another name of somebody that watches over the kids. But
the dean?
Dean, thank you. I think he was the dean. Yeah, and it's just like, I knew it didn't feel right. And they tried to do a spin-off. That didn't work. Then there was the one where, I think even the guy who played Joey from Friends.
Yeah, Friends. Yeah. Nathan, when you come across this episode, and they're in two episodes, I almost felt like this clearly comes off as they were trying to make a new character and
a new series. Yeah.
Doesn't work, but that jerk off Joey from Friends plays like this greaser boyfriend of Kelly's, and his dad shows up, who was in Alligator 2. That's what I know him from. Is from Alligator 2, The Mutation. There's a movie reference for you. But they come in and they set these guys up, put a lot of focus on them in this one episode, and then I think two or three episodes later, in the same season, they get the whole episode. No one else shows up in it. It's just Joey and his dad trying to be funny, and it's not funny. I sat and watched. I'm like, God, this sucks.
Yep, and you know it. That's when you know they're doing these. Yeah.
Don't bother. Like they don't bring anything to the show. You don't need to be say you're a completist because you watch it, because it sucks. It's not funny, serves no purpose, and it went nowhere. So when you do come to those episodes, just skip it.
You'll know them when you see them. There's a couple, and like I said, the one with that Tremaine, you're gonna know these
six. Yeah, it's somewhere knee deep in the really good, rich episodes that it just they just shoehorn this in. And
I never liked that. Yeah, I'm glad it didn't work. But those are the ones I didn't like. One, which they were mentioning in the chat room with JSP and Chris Simpson, was the episode where they had to go to Vegas to get Peg because
that though, and the Vegas ones weren't that bad though.
No, I loved when he went there and he had to wrestle Big Bad Mama from GLOW, because Al thought he was going to wrestle one of the hot GLOW girls, and he had to wrestle Big Bad Mama. I just remember the terror in his face, and like when he was going to get splashed by the giant tsunami that she was going to do off the second or top ropes, and he was just like, good night, when he looked at the camera. The one thing I wish I could always know, because you wonder what goes through an actor's head and what they're seeing, and this is as stupid as it sounds, I like sometimes just crazy little details. There's a part where you see them all in a crowd, like they're watching Al wrestle, and you see Marcy, you see Kelly, you see Bud, and you see Peg. And they're all watching Al, and I think Marcy said, is his arm supposed to be flailing around like that? Or like she says something, and then you hear Al do this insane scream like he's getting hurt. But when he does it, if you look closely at Kelly, she starts to laugh for a second, then holds it back, and then like closes her mouth. I always wondered, what the hell did she see? Was it just his laugh, or did he do something off camera that had her almost break character? But if you look closely, you'll see her start to crack up, and then she stops. She holds it back. You can tell it's not part of the script, but that was a great episode. If you haven't seen, watch that one. The one where he goes.
if I haven't seen.
So that's why I stopped, because I was like, I just remember you haven't seen. You have to see that episode. It is great when they go to Vegas and he wrestles the GLOW, Big Bad Mama from GLOW. Especially thinking he's going to get the hot ones.
That one sounds vaguely familiar to me, because I'm like, oh yeah, pro wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, well, there was another one where
the beers, Nathan, at any point, or is Joey even aware of that?
Wait, what'd you say?
That we met Amanda Beers, Marcy, at Mad Monster a few years ago.
I don't think, did we? I don't know if we ever told him that or not.
But I don't think, unless Joe looked at our pictures on Facebook, I guess he probably didn't know.
No, I didn't know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, she was cool as hell, too. Very, very nice. And
ask her any Married with Children questions, I'm assuming.
Actually, that's the only thing I asked her about, because she was there for Fright Night. and she was signing my Friday night poster, but I told her, and I did, I had like really intense butterflies meeting her, because it was just like, oh my gosh, it's Marcy. You know, it was a big thing, married with children, even more than Fright Night. And, but she was really cool. And I just told her, I really, you know, loved the, you know, I asked her about the evolution of the banter between her and Al. And as I found out too, that I've read it on internet, and like anything else, you don't know what to believe. But there was constant tension between her and Ed O'Neill on the show. Like they butted heads a lot. You know, I don't know how true that is. You know, especially since she was on the show the entire run. She directed episodes as well. But I didn't get really so much of a rich... Hell, I can't even remember what else she said about it. Because I was just kind of in shock for the most part. Plus, this was the year that me and Nathan swore off going to Mad Monster, because we had such a horrible first day there. So this is the second day, and she was a sweetheart of a lady, very very cool. I wish I had an opportunity to ask her a lot more, but I was just kind of starstruck at the time, like I have with so many other people. I don't know. I think Nathan got her autograph, but
I got her autograph. I didn't really. I think that year I went, I wasn't really like feeling it anyway, so I would go to a person, have like just really quick small talk. They'd sign my stuff and I would just get out of line.
Yeah. It's well, cause I think by the time I got to it, you had already left town.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a bad year.
Yeah.
I went into it anyway, not just like personal stuff going on. I went into it just like not like just drained of it. I'm like, I don't even really want to be here, but I already paid for it, and I wanted to get the autographs. I just really wasn't feeling it that year.
Joe, that's also the same year that Skeletor screwed me on an autograph that he refused to sign for.
Yeah, that's too much. He said it was too much stuff, right?
Yeah, that seven words was too much. But then again, our friend Thomas went to a convention in Texas and got him to write the exact same thing on an 8x10 I have over here on my wall that apparently he had no problem signing.
That's weird. I really wonder why that. I don't know.
Not to get sidetracked there, because we're talking married with children here, but I just thought Joe might enjoy, you know, us rubbing it in his face that we met her, but you know, didn't get to talk to her in great deal. But
no, that's pretty cool. No, I mean that would have been great. I know I would have been geeked out. I would have been geeked out with any of them, anybody from Married with Children, except the actor who played Seven. I wouldn't even care about that kid. But no
convention in the right mind is going to invite that little. And it wasn't his fault. I'm sure he had the time of his life being on a primetime show on Fox that was extremely popular. But you know, no, it's like, you know, Brady Bunch reunion special convention, and they're bringing in Cousin Oliver.
Yeah, and that's what it kind of – he almost seemed like he was the Cousin Oliver of that show. Yeah, he just didn't.
But when I got a little older and kind of realized that a lot of shows would do that, I'm like, oh, I think that's what they were trying to do. You know, was do that to kind of spice the show up a bit. But
I also liked – I loved how all the different voices of Buck the dog. Like, I like how Cheech Marin,
I was a fan of the whole Buck the dog thing. It just
There was a lot of different voice actors, but I particularly like the one time when Cheech Marin, of course, voiced Buck. And it was the episode where Al wanted to get this special cheesecake. It was it was ripe smelling, real harsh. But I mean, I can't remember if it was Franz. I'm trying to remember somebody's cheesecake. Oh God, I hate that. I can't remember the cherry cheesecake, the exact brand of it. But Al was obsessed to get this. But during this episode, of course, too, I think that's where Buck got some tail, and he brought this dog to the house that he had sex with. But of course, everybody's starting to fall in love with this dog and not like Buck. So at the end, the only way Buck can figure a way of having Al and the whole family hate this dog is by tricking the dog. And when Al had this perfect cheesecake sitting on the table, he convinces that dog, that's for you. They bought that for you. So that dog starts eating it. Here comes Buck then barks to get Al's attention. And Al comes downstairs and sees that dog eating his cheesecake, which of course made him get rid of the dog. But I don't know. I think I just remember that because it was one episode where it kind of was okay with Buck. Because a lot of the times the stuff with Buck was silly. Of course, he is the family doll, but some was just eh. But that one was one I was like, well, it worked for Buck. I felt bad at the time when he got into the pound and stuff. I kind of didn't like that because I just felt bad for him being stuck in the pound and nobody recognized him. But yeah, Buck had his moment, I guess.
I didn't think so. I never cared for that gimmick on the show. It just wasn't funny. It was trying so hard to, you know, it's, especially when the dog's sitting there, you know, not doing anything. And we got some guy doing, yeah, Al, but I got some last night. I bet you did. I'm like, that's not
funny. No, hey, I agree with that. Yeah, some of those were corny, but this was the one time when Cheech did it, and it was a Bud specific, I mean, a Buck specific.
You know, it does. What's that? I like Cheech Marin and Dust Till Dawn, and that's really about it.
Oh, God, Jesus, you don't like Cheech and Chong? Who the hell are you? But anyways.
Other than Half-Baked, pop humor doesn't make me laugh, you know?
I guess you had to grow up with it. That was an awesome movie. Cheech still smoking, and oh, my God, those were great. But no, it worked for this episode with Buck. Like I said, Buck had an episode to where it was kindly something, I can understand what's happened in this episode, and it worked. But the other times, you're right, when it's just that quick little underlying little joke or little thing he'd say to Al, you're right. It didn't. It's like, who cares? It didn't mean nothing. It's not nothing you want to repeat. But I just like seeing that episode in particular. The cheesecake thing was kind of cool because, like I said, I always had my food obsession. But I did like seeing Buck have an episode to where it wasn't just complete, you know, who gives a crap. I enjoyed it. So Buck had his one. If anybody out there liked Buck, that's one episode. It's okay. Is with him where Cheech Marin done the voice and he was getting some tail and had to get rid of that dog. So Jay, there.
Ace is probably not going to think that's funny if he falls asleep during it.
He might not, but it's just, it's me with everything combined. Because like I said, just the whole thing with the cherry cheesecake obsession and his, you know, constant need of this and search for it. And first getting the wrong one. I couldn't remember they went to one place. They thought it was it. And then he said, this isn't a Chuck's. Hey, maybe that was it. Chuck's cherry cheesecake. Maybe that's what it was called. But yeah, he was obsessed on getting this thing. And the thing is, I've never ate a cheesecake before. So I don't even know what the hell something like that would taste like. It sounds gross.
This on an episode about cherry cheesecake. And you're sitting there. Oh. Never had cheesecake before. Get the hell out of here.
Wait, what? You haven't had cheesecake before?
Because it's, well, that's the thing. I mean, all the cherries, it looked good when it was all over the thing. It looked tasty, but I hear people talk about, you know, just cheesecake, and it sounds in my head gross because I'm thinking, well, how much cheese is in this stuff? What's it taste like? It sounds gross to me. So, no, I've never had cheesecake.
Oh, my God. It's delicious, Joe.
The cherries would, I guess, make it good. Maybe. See, the thing is, I've done that with certain foods. Where I'll eat just the top, you know, even with cake.
Tyler looks so pained right now. You're hurting Tyler.
There's some things I've had where, okay, for an example, a nice.
You're not going to help your case with any kind of. I mean, I don't care.
Oh, I'm not trying to. So, anyways, there was this one time there was this apple pie and it had this apple crumb all over it. And I was like, oh my God, this looks just so freaking delicious. Somebody gave me a slice and I cut into it and I ate it and I loved the crumbs and the brown sugar stuff on top. But then when I was getting towards the bottom parts of the cake and the pie, I was like, I don't like that stuff. So I was just eating the top of the apple crumb pie or cake or whatever the hell it was. So I would be that person. You'd give me this delicious cherry cheesecake. I'd eat the cherries off the top, not the cheesecake.
Wow. What the hell does that have to do with the fact that you have not eaten cheesecake?
Well, I'm like, you know why I wouldn't? I'd like the top, but I wouldn't like the bottom. I don't know. It just doesn't sound good. It sounds gross.
Or chocolate cheesecake. There's... You know, regular cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake, you know, swirled cheesecake. I mean, any kind of cheesecake you can think of, not just something that's buried with cherries and stuff like that. I mean, it's grasshopper cheesecake. They've got, you know, just an endless.
Grasshopper cheesecake? What the fuck? What are you talking about? They got grasshoppers in this?
Yeah, yes, yeah. Just like in the episode Saved by the Bell, when it has a caramel caterpillar. Have another? No. When they call it mint, those chocolate mint cookies that the Girl Scouts sell. Those are a lot. The Keebler version is called grasshopper cookies.
Oh, well, I mean, I know people who eat insects. That's why I was like, what are you talking about? I thought there was grasshoppers in this. I was like, what the fuck? This ain't selling me.
Here, it's a common practice and a delicacy to eat grasshoppers around here.
Hey, I don't know. Hell, people give me shit.
Ohio, you know.
Man, people, he sits here and eats his chicken gizzards.
That's the thing. People give me
never had fucking cheesecake.
Well, I know, isn't that bizarre? And that's why I thought maybe there was really grasshoppers, because people give me stuff about chicken gizzards, I'll have frog legs, I even eat alligator. So that's what I mean, when you said grasshoppers, I assumed people were eating them, but it was just something I didn't want.
Just because you're willing to eat everything of an animal other than the actual good stuff, you know, you know, doesn't mean that the rest of the world does this.
Can't afford the good stuff.
Things in Toledo, Ohio, but here in America... You know, we eat good stuff, you know, and the gizzard stuff, that's probably why you wear a mask. You don't want to be seen eating that stuff, dude, right? Is that what it is?
You might be on to me, or it might be just I can't afford the good stuff, so I have to eat this shit. So it's
kind of as if, like, cheesecake is like a $100 delicacy. You know,
that is expensive stuff, I thought people said.
Virginia, only the glitz and the glamour is going to afford that cheesecake, that that, you know, when me and Nathan want cheesecake, we get our top hat, our gloves, our monocle, and our cane. We're going downtown to get ourselves some cheesecake.
It sounds fancy to me. I thought it was. I'm not used to that. Yeah. I'm used to getting some like cheap 99-cent Betty Crocker thing.
And the Rolls Royce next to us. Pardon me. Do you have any Gros Poupon? You know, as well.
I pictured it. I can believe it. Like I said, I'm used to you can get it for like 99 cents or less. You know, a cake mix at the store, and you can make your own cake mix and make your own cake at home. And I'm fortunate these cheesecakes gotta be like probably $10 or something. Like, no, that's way too much. Give me you something
probably,
that's like a.
Probably love to have like box like Chef Boyardee spaghetti too, don't you?
No, you can get your own pasta for like you know 79 cents, 69. You can make your own pasta at home. So
the way Nathan was Joe was describing it, it's like no, you can get your own pasta like really cheap. Like what the hell does this man or does it have to do?
Well, because pasta? Well, but the thing is, when I take pasta out, you know, you got to take it out of the box like this.
You get like two, you know, two vaginas. Like this.
Now me and my hand gestures, that'll be the downfall of me. But no, whether I have it in a box or a plastic bag, you always gotta grab the pasta and pull it out of there like this. So that's the motion.
Like go there, Joe. Yeah. Whoa.
You do. I'll go get a box right now. Sure, you gotta pull it out of the box like that. That's how you gotta do it. So that's the hand gesture. Oh man, what's going on? What the hell were we talking about?
See
what
you started right? Going on about cheesecake and how you never eaten it, and then it just fell down from there.
Well, that's a great side rant. It happens all the time. Oh, we wouldn't be doing our show if we didn't do our side rants. So, well, I guess, how about Nathan and then Tyler and me? We can all give our closing thoughts on Married with Children before we wrap this up.
My closing thoughts are going to be simple. I need to watch more of the show, period. Like, thank you guys for, like, educating and just talking about it. It was fun to sit and listen.
I could talk all day.
Yeah, it's a classic show. I hold the show in such high regard, even though not every season can be as good as those middle seasons. But it was so good. I put it up on the pedestal with Seinfeld and Frasier's like top sitcoms of all time. Because I still have such a blast watching it even today. It's the jokes have aged well, at least within those seasons, not every season. But it's still damn funny. I never get tired of Marcy and Al busting each other's balls. Kelly and Bud going at it. Al rejecting Peg all the time, beautiful women showing up on the show and stuff like that. It's a timeless show, and you know, it's cool to see it in syndication still on TBS. It did take the spot of Saved by the Bell, which I was kind of bothered about because it's so cool to see Saved by the Bell being played in the morning so often, but it's still good. It's still a celebrated show. I know the cast, you know, they look at it as a very wonderful time. They don't look down upon the show. They that show made them. I mean, they all became names because of that show, and it was a fantastic show, and I, you know, I don't come across too many people. My mom's never been a fan of the show, but then she told me she would try to watch it because she liked Modern Family so much, and she found herself laughing. I told you, I'm not just, you know, with you. So it's a great show. You know, if you haven't watched it in a while, do yourself a favor and start watching season 4. You can do a Google search and find all the seasons to watch on this particular website. They don't, you know, I watch them on my phone a lot too. So,
or spend $25.
You can do that
on DVD.
Yeah, support the brand. So I suggest you do that instead there. But it's a great show, one of the best comedy sitcoms of all time.
I do want to throw out, since you said you hold it in such high regard and you put it to Seinfeld and Frasier up there, Tyler already knows how I feel about those shows. But I'm going to go ahead and let the rest of the world know that I do not like Seinfeld or Frasier. I think both of those shows are not funny at all.
Never watch. I always said, I never had the desire to watch. I think I watched one episode of Seinfeld, and this might have been coming after Dirt, who does the producing for our other podcast. You know, I know that Tyler and him would just give me some shit about, you know, I don't know much about Seinfeld. And I watched the episode, and I just felt the humor was like, eh. It felt dry. I was like, I'm just not into it. I was like, I don't like this, so... I just, hey, but, you know, everybody's got something. But, no, Married with Children, it's one of my top shows of all time. And just like you were saying, Tyler and Nathan, yeah, if you can, buy the DVD box set, however you can. Because while it's good on TBS, my memory, while I don't have the steel trap like Tyler does for almost all shit, I had the steel trap for Married with Children in moments. And I remembered when I'd watched these syndicated episodes on TBS, I'm like, wait a second, I remember this happened. Like, what the hell, am I going nuts? I was like, what happened to these parts? So I had to do a YouTube search at one time to see. I was like, oh, it's still there. And then when I got that season four of the DVD, I was like, oh, it's there. But they take so many good parts that while it might be small and you think it's not memorable, trust me, it adds to the show. And yeah, get it on DVD or watch it hopefully through a stream service like Tyler was saying. Hopefully that would be the whole stream and not edited, because when they take out those parts, it ruins the show sometimes.
Yeah, they've done the same thing with Saved by the Bell too, and I didn't really realize that. Seinfeld the same way. When you'd see it on the original run on NBC or whatever, but you watch in syndication, they've cut it out, you know, for commercials and stuff like that too. So it's best to get it on DVD or try and stream it. That way you're watching the entire episodes the way they were intended to be. So
yeah, because back in the day, the reason this was pretty close to being true for regular, you know, local channels like 11, 24, 13, 36, whatever you had. You remember Chuck Woolery from Love Connection when he said, we'll be back in 2 2. That was 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Almost all commercials on every channel were pretty close to 2 minutes or 2 minutes and 2 seconds. But when you start going to networks like TBS, TNT, sometimes you might have a commercial that's like, it ain't 2 minutes, like 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. So you're right. Since they have longer commercials, they have to do a little shaving here, a little shaving there. And
TBS is advertising all their original content that no one gives a shit about, and no one will ever, because they can't come up with anything else, which is why they keep playing classics in syndication.
Just going to ask you guys this in the closing thoughts, because, you know, they're bringing Roseanne back.
Yeah.
If they were to, and everyone agreed to it, and they brought if they brought it back, one, do you think it would still be as good? And two, do you think that they would have to sort of change it? Because I know it had controversies when it came out, obviously, because of its crudeness and how they handled certain things, or, you know, the dialogue through the show. Do you think they would have to tone it down if they brought it back?
I would hope not. But, I mean, like you said, the feel of the show would be quite different because, I mean, all the kids are grown up now. So, you know, the majority, tons of those episodes revolved around them. But seeing them growing up now, they'll have probably, I'm sure their kids will have kids, or they'll probably try to bring in some new, you know, characters to the show. I would hope the crudeness could still exist. I mean, I still see that in some shows, whether it might be a brand new show to TBS or something, to where there's some things that are kind of crude. As for network, I don't know if they still would take that chance, but I wouldn't see why they wouldn't try. Will they do it? I don't know, but I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I don't know if they'll take that chance, because it's going to be ABC that's doing it, or what?
No, he's talking about Married with Children, not.
Oh, I thought he said Roseanne.
They're bringing Roseanne back, and I was saying, like, you know, if someone got that idea that we should bring back Married with Children, if they were to do that, do you think it would work?
No. The thing is, I mean, I think because it just started wearing off, like, you know, in the last season, it was really getting watered down more and more. I don't know what kind of jokes they'd write, but I just can't see. I can't see it working. I mean, it's, what are they going to do again? Yeah, let's bring Kelly back to the house and Bud back to the house. You got to have all these factors together to make so many great episodes. I can't see it just being, if they would focus on just Peg, Al, maybe we'll have Jefferson and Marcy be around. And what, would they start bringing in the no man gags and all that crap again? I don't know. I don't think it would work. It just wouldn't have the same magic as it used to have.
I think the biggest factor plays in is whether or not Fox would be willing to be open-minded about, you know, you couldn't do, and the same thing with Roseanne. Like, Roseanne, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing this relaunch of it, but I certainly hope that they allowed the show to be what it always was, which was, you know, smart ass and not being afraid to take shots, but also be very open-minded about a lot of stuff, because the show was not about bashing ideas or thoughts. It was just being smartass about everything and being pretty much true to life. You watch the old Roseanne, you're like, there's nothing offensive about this show other than she's just telling it like it is, which is pretty much being realistic about stuff. And with Married with Children, you know, Al was saying things that, you know, people would want to say. And that's what made him such a likable character. When he's being pushed around, you know, and not just men, but women as well would love to have nothing more than just crude and crass to people or being assholes to you in regular life. And that's all Al was doing. When he's coming in in dealing with, you know, very heavy women. And of course, they're not being rude to him. He just doesn't want to deal with it because he can't get a very small shoe on their foot that they're demanding to wear. He's just being frustrated and just wants to get him out of the store and saying what clearly is not appropriate to say. But that's what makes the show funny. So unless Fox was willing to get behind and let, in, not to say that Bud and Kelly would have to have kids, I would say that Bud is, you know, working a job and still not getting anywhere with the women. And Kelly is, you know, I feel like you could maybe do it, but I almost feel like you don't need to do it. It's one of those shows that, you know what, doesn't
need to. I wouldn't want to see it. Yeah, right. I wouldn't want to see it come back. It just it wouldn't work.
I would agree not with that as well.
Back. I mean, it's cool that Roseanne's coming back because I think it's a good idea. I was behind it when they heard about it. I wanted to see how it turns out. But Married with Children, I would be intrigued, but only if I knew for a fact Fox would just say, you know what, we're going to let the show be what it always was. We'll take the heat, and we'll just make sure we don't, you know, go too overboard with offending communities of a certain kind or ethnic groups or whatever, you know. But that's what the show was. But like, even though they would have gay jokes on the show, they were not gay bashing or bashing, you know, minorities or anything like that. It was just speaking your mind about, you know what, I think you're a prick and I really don't give a damn, and or whatever the case may be. When I watched the show, I'm like, they're not bashing gay people. They're not bashing minorities. They were bashing heavy people, but it was almost in a way because they're being rude to Al or something like that. So, I just don't think it'd be a good idea unless Fox was 120% behind it.
So it's probably going to happen, is what we're saying.
Don't say that. I don't know. Let's hope not.
What Fox puts out, too. Of course, I don't watch regular TV anymore, too. But they haven't put out anything quality in years, too. So, but there's no, they couldn't do it because you know, Ed O'Neill's making too much money on Modern Family. The show's winning Emmys all the time. It's a giant. Yeah. You see, even if Fox wanted to, there's no way in hell they could do it anyway because of that. You know, I think Katie Sagal.
It won't happen. It's a thought, but yeah, it probably never happened. And but yeah, before I pass it to Nathan to wrap it up. Jake Juggalo, I don't know if I acknowledge you, but thanks for being there in the chat room and for your comments. I'm not sure if I acknowledge you, so I want to do that. Sorry, because we got ranting, and sometimes when I lose it, I just forget to look once in a while. But all right, well, go ahead, Nathan. You can wrap us up and tell everybody where they can go and what to do.
All right. Well, if you're checking us out on YouTube, check in the description. We got the Facebook page there. Got an email address. So if you want to go ahead and email us questions, anything like that, like I said last week, maybe we can – we start getting in emails, maybe we can make that like sort of the tail end of the show, read off some stuff if people got questions for us. The audio version, when we get that up on Podbean, I always link that in the description too. So if you don't want to watch the whole video, you'd prefer to download the audio, take us on the road. I don't think I would put any more links in there anymore. I think it's just that Facebook page, email address, audio version. So there you go.
That should do it. That should cover all the basics or what we need from people.
Oh, I also do put a link to Pop Culture Network, so you can go there, check it out, see their other podcasts that these two guys do, and some of the other stuff that's on the site.
Okay, yeah, and don't forget to like and share and subscribe down here. Look down here. Is that what the people always say?
Patience. Listen to Joe not know when we're going live yet.
Yeah, I'm a disaster. Yeah. Or what is it that people always say? Smash that like button or smash that subscribe button.
I would never say that.
Well, okay. Is that what, like the cool, like trendy, like unboxing videos and all that?
No, that's anytime you go to YouTube basically and you'll watch a video of somebody showing this or talking about this and it has for whatever reason 5 million views, you always say, go ahead, be sure to smash that like button and subscribe button. And always point down and shit,
like,
it ain't working.
Share and subscribe.
There you go. Hit the dingy bell there so you know and get notifications when we're going to be on.
Hit the
dingy bell. Or the ding bell. Or ding bat me. So, all right. Yeah. So it's awesome. So, again, thanks everybody in the chat room for joining us. Hope you enjoyed this. And next week, I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about next week. We sometimes will give you guys a preview, but maybe it'll just happen. Well, it's going to happen.
Tyler, you got anything?
I, you know, Nathan had brought this up, and of course, Joe torpedoed it because I knew Joe was going to be like, well, see, guys, we've talked about movies for a couple of weeks. We got to talk about something else. Of course, I just know how Joe works.
Is that what I say? Wait, hold up. Wait, first, is that how I say it? Do I say, hey, guys, now we did this. Now we get to, is that how I sound when I say that? I never realized it.
Yeah, that's how you always sound, you know.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Because Nathan brought up something to me that I wanted to do a while back anyway. I'm like, I just knew for a fact Joe is going to say no because we've done too many movies.
So you're kind of saying Joe's the anchor of the show. I'm always trying to sink into your guys' ideas. Is that it? Is this the underlying statement of this? Is that Joe sinks all the ideas?
No. Is that we can only do so many before Joe's like, I mean, come on, guys. You know, we got to do something with it that's just not a good idea.
See, everybody out there, that's how Tyler does me all the time. He's always like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. When do I say this? Come on, guys.
You know, the power says, come on, guys. You know, be cheap. Come on, guys.
Well, sure. We'll go ahead. Finish your statement about what I'm going to shoot down now.
No, because Married with Children is inevitable. Hell, it's part of the banner for Beyond Retro. But I just knew when Nathan came, it's like, I just like, Joe's going to say no because we've done too many movies because that's a joke.
By the way, I don't think I've ever said officially no to everybody else out there. I've never shot them and said no.
That's the thing, though. Because when it was brought up on last week's episode, what we do, Joe's like, well, we've done a few movies, guys. So I think we need to do a TV show, guys.
What is this, guys? I want people in the chat room. Tell me when I've said guys like this. I don't remember it. You're right. I probably did, but I've never shot down. I'm letting everybody know out there. I've never shot them down. I said, nope, don't think we should do this. Or wait, no, guys, I don't think we should do this. I don't think I've done that before, but go ahead. What's the topic?
On the old He-Man podcast that don't go anymore, when he would tell people to be poor, you know, come on, guys, spend all your money on this line. You know, come on, just eat off the dollar menu at McDonald's.
Good. There you go. Go ahead.
Well, I guess now we should just keep it a surprise for next week.
So that way, or I guess we could bring it up, Joe, at last minute, see if he would torpedoes it live on the show.
No, you have to do it now. You have to do it on the show live now so I can show everybody I didn't shoot nothing down. So now you got to say the topic that we could talk about next week.
That's because technically Joe didn't shoot it down. But like last week, before when it was brought, what we would do, Joe says, we've done movies a few weeks in a row. I'm like, I knew, I swear to God. And I wish I had told Nathan, actually, that Joe is going to sit there and say, we've done too many movies. And I was like, I wish I'd have put $20 down that we've done too many movies. And sure, that's what Joe says. We've done movies a few weeks in a row. We need to do something else.
I wish I would have gave $20 for when you're going to say the damn topic. What you say? What are we talking about?
Well, it was suggested to do Roadhouse.
Okay, Roadhouse. I had to say it like that because that's how Peter says it on Family Guy. Hey, how you like that? A Family Guy reference that Tyler hates.
That's not cute. That's not funny at all.
Joe, you're off the show.
That's it. Yeah. See? All right, there. Boom. It's been banned. All right. I like some Family Guy.
Guys, who thought that was funny?
I like Family Guy. I like when he did his Roadhouse. I like Family Guy. It's a great show. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. How you like that?
We'll be doing a solo show on that.
Good. That's good. I'll be talking about, well, you guys are just sitting in the background or your screen's be black or you just won't be on.
Yeah, no, yeah. Tyler won't even be here. I'll just come over here and I'll turn my camera off and I'll mute my microphone.
You're like, go, Family Guy. Yeah, we can do Roadhouse. That sounds fine with me. See, I didn't shoot that down. Everybody who's listening and watching, Joe didn't shoot that down.
Joe was like crocheting something that's not there. Yeah, guys, that's fine. Sure. There could not have been a lack of enthusiasm to talk about one of the most macho movies of all time when he's sitting there. Huh, yeah, that's great. Sure.
It's awesome. So there.
Could you have like torpedoed that idea any more than what you just did there?
So there, everybody, prepare. Next week, we are going to talk about Roadhouse. I'm enthusiastic. That's Joe being enthusiastic. You know how I am. You know how excited I get. I'm excited about Roadhouse next week.
No.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's like,
so maybe Roadhouse next week. We're not going to confirm that yet.
No, we're going to do it. No, we're confirming it because you're going to hear it and you heard it here first. Joe didn't shoot nothing down. We are doing Roadhouse next week. That's confirmed. So there you go. That's next week's topic. Okay. All right. So that's it. There you go. Tyler said his thing. Nathan said his things. Nathan told everybody where to go. So thanks again for joining us. See you guys next week.
Get the hell out of here.